Welcome to Rewire with Brian Coons, a podcast that explores human potential. If this content is useful to you, please rate or share with your friends and loved ones. Welcome to Rewire Podcast. This is episode number 27. With me today is Sandro Motta. I must say I'm really excited about this episode. I did a session with Sandro just a couple of weeks ago, and it was quite, I don't know how to describe it, but it was a very much of an earth sort of shattering experience for me. Sandro is a leading breathwork and human enhancement coach, helping clients to better their lives through mind, body, and spirit. Sandro, thank you so much for being here today on the podcast.
It's my honor and my pleasure, Brian. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you, brother. Well, I must say, just first off, we were introduced through a mutual friend, and Sandro's a big guy. You know, he's got a fitness background, and I have a bit of a similar story in that regard, and it's really nice to meet another a man's man with a big heart. Sandro, I'm really interested in your story. You live in New Zealand currently, and I know that you've lived in different parts of the world, and as I just alluded to, you have a background in fitness, and now you're doing all these other things for the mind and body as well. Can you give us a little bit of a history of how you got from where you started to ending up in New Zealand now?
Yeah, sure. So I'm originally from Brazil. I was born and raised in Brazil by an amazing woman. My mother is a single mother. She has two kids, myself and my brother, my older brother. And at the age of 19, I was doing business administration at university in Salvador. And after 1 year at university, I decided that that wasn't for me. And my dream was to just travel the world and see what was out there. So I live in seven different countries. In New Zealand has been home for me for the last 10 years. I met my beautiful wife when I was living in Mexico at the Maya Riviera, and was love at the first sight. And I decided to move to New Zealand and give a shot. And here I am after 10 years with the woman of my life.
Oh, amazing! That's a great vacation story. So you've been in New Zealand for 10 years. So what about the fitness? Because I think you are a pro in one of the bodybuilding federations. When did you start competing?
So I started competing around 4 years, 6 years ago. I did my first competition. At the beginning was a way for me to pretty much promote my job as a personal training. And that ended up being kind of a funny addiction. I jumped on the stage for the first time for fun. Then I won my first competition, and then I thought, well, it seems like I can be good on that thing. And then after 1 year, I got invited to be a professional athlete as a sports model. And my goal was to just take the biggest stage in my federation. And that happened. I was invited to represent, ironically, I was invited to represent New Zealand in the Mr. Universe that was held in Brazil. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, interesting, brother. So, yeah, I got to say, I've competed a couple times myself, not at that level. I've been to the pro qualifier level, but it is quite an addictive feeling. Being up there and being in the whole training process, what I really took from that was the discipline, and you know that's been a part of my life for everything else. So for you, so you're focusing on personal training and the body. At what point did you start to become curious about breath work and the mind and the spirit and sort of tying it all together?
So. At a very young age, around 7 to 8 years old, being from Brazil, Brazil is a well-known country for a very strong spiritual background. So I start my spiritual journey pretty much at the age of 7, 8 years old. That's when I start to just discovering and jumping in buses in Brazil and just going to different spiritual center. And traveling a lot, I always had that thing within me that was something much more than the physical body. And I always pray. I always had a very strong connection with nature. I'm a windsurf instructor, sailing instructor, water ski instructor. So water has always been my second home. So coming to New Zealand, becoming a professional athlete, I decided to open my own fitness center, which what I noticed by doing that was that every single client that came to my gym, they were looking for something more than the physical change. The physical change was pretty much a door for them to feel good within themselves and making new friends. So that's when my journey into the breath work starts. I was looking for some second venue to make my business have a differential compared to other fitness centers. And badly, I knew that this decision to implement something new to my business would take me in a very self-discovery, very deep path of self-discovery. And that's when everything changed in my life. And breath work became kind of a lifestyle and a way to heal all the wounds that I had underlying that I didn't even was aware about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were just talking before the podcast, and maybe we'll just jump off to that point right now. I mean, so just to let everybody know, so I did a breathwork session with Sandro, as I mentioned, a couple weeks ago. And, you know, the topic was I am anger. And I've struggled with anger in my younger years. And, you know, I feel there's anger in my body. I guess that's the best way I could describe it. And through that process, it was quite an awakening for me that there was, I've kind of, so to frame it up, so Sandro asked some questions about my past, and, you know, there was a group of all amazing individuals all sort of on a path of self-discovery through breath work. And some of the questions about, you know, particular triggers were really difficult for me to sort of identify at the time. But after the session, I was like, oh, wow. And it just kind of opened up the door. Now, it was kind of, might have been kind of comical for you, Sandro, because my family was home. You know, we're in quarantine right now. And I was in my office downstairs. I said, you know, I'm going to be in a session from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So just leave me alone till after that. And I think I had the door locked and the howling and the wailing and everything that I was, the noises I was making, they picked the lock. And I looked up, and my son and daughter were standing over me. Sandra, I think you could see that on the screen.
Yeah, I could see on the wall.
So I mean, I wasn't able to go. I went deep, but I'm really excited about that again. So just on that note with the breath work, I mean, I know you've invested a lot of time and energy and money into becoming a master in this. Where did you start to learn breathwork techniques formally? And you know, how has your journey been around that?
So formally was around 5.5 years ago. And my first very profound connection to breathwork started with the Wim Hof method, so the Iceman, right?
And yes.
Was such an obsession when I did my first online session. That's a free little mini course that Wim Hof offered on his website. That after that, I just said, you know what, I'm going to become an instructor. And then it was a matter of months. I was already in Beverly Hills doing my advanced Wim Hof. And then I booked to my instructor course with Wim Hof itself that was held in Portland at Mount Hood. So Wim Hof was my first official instructor certification, and what opened the door for me for that amazing, powerful tool, that's the breath. And after the Wim Hof, I said, well, it must be different techniques that I can implement as well, more focused on sports performance, but also on spiritual and trauma release. So then I became straight away an instructor at a method that called Buteyko, which is more directly through sports performance and overall health improvement through nasal breathing. And that was fascinating as well. I did that with a guy in Thailand. He used to be a monk. And I became what I call advanced buteyko instructor. So after that, I was applying all the buteyko method into my own fitness training, and the improvement that I noticed was just remarkable. And then I trained some of the top fighters in New Zealand, boxing fighters and Olympic athletes. The number one rower in New Zealand named Robbie Manson also was one of my clients, and we're still very good friends. A guy named Cairo George, he's number one professional boxer in New Zealand and just going for the world title now for his category. And a guy named David Nika, which is an Olympic fighter for New Zealand. So after that, Brian just saw, okay, that physical side is very interesting, is amazing, but I want to now go into a breath work that will give me the tools to deal with my own sort of anxiety, and I want to more the spiritual side of breath work. Then I became what we'll call a master 9-month rebirther trainer. And that technique is pretty much based on releasing any trauma that you have trapped at cellular level. And we have, I have worked since then with 2,000 clients, help people that have been raped or people that suffer severe depression. And then I start to get an interest from the medical side. So I had doctors referring the patients that have been doing counseling. I traveled to Canada, funny enough, to a place called Kamloops. I was invited by an amazing medical doctor to run a 2-day workshop in Canada, and that was extremely powerful. And since then, it's been just a journey that I wouldn't change anything about, because I feel like my life has changed 100%. And the fact that I have helped people to find for themselves what I have found to myself is just extremely rewarding. So that's pretty much my breathwork background is Wim Hof instructor, is a buteyko instructor, and rebirth instructor. So from those three techniques, I came up with my own method and style of work that's very unique, and that's what you have experienced in that online session.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's powerful. That's so powerful. I mean, we take the breath for granted, I think. I mean, you know, as somebody who's studied a lot of mindfulness, you know, the breath is such an important thing, but it's hard to really believe that all of this healing and all these wonderful things that we can experience as human beings and all this releasing and healing can happen just through our own breath with the proper guidance and technique from someone like yourself. So that's an amazing story on, you know, gathering all of those different disciplines and creating your own. Just a side note, I mean, I've been studying Wim Hof method myself for, I guess, about 6 months now, and that's really changed my life and my coaching clients, because now I marry breath work with meditation to get them into that certain state. So it really has a kind of a magic combination. So Sandro, I know there's so much amazing science and studies around breath work and to show the effect, but what is actually happening? Like, how does breath work actually help lower your stress and anxiety, for example?
So breathing is pretty much what I say, the remote control of the brain. So we can all note that the way you feel is directly related to the way you're breathing and vice versa. The way you're breathing will also influence the way that you feel. But I would say if you just observe and be aware of the way you breathe when you are stressed, you can see that's a shallow, a fast breathing, or a lot of times we even hold your breath without noticing. And when you hold your breath, for example, I can give you a very simple analogy that when you are a kid, for example, and you go to school and your teacher asks you to go in the front and present something in front of all your colleagues. A lot of kids get frightened by that. So the first thing you do is just before you even be called to go to the front and expose your ideas to your colleagues when you are a kid, you just go to a corner, you stop breathing, because stop breathing when you are a kid is pretty much a way to become invisible. So that's very interesting when you see the correlation between the breath and what you're trying to achieve by breathing differently. It's just fascinating for me to have that correlation between the autonomic nervous system and the breath, because all are connected, and the connection comes from a nerve in our body called the vagus nerve, which is one of the biggest nerve in our body. It's actually two branches of nerves that come from our brainstem and pretty much innervated. It goes in all our vital organs, lungs, heart, stomach. So the vagus nerve, it is a pathway to send information from the hypothalamus into the all the organs. And that is because the alveoli has a lot of innervations over there. And the vagus nerve is pretty much directly connect with our lungs. So every time you breathe, the vagus nerve will send information from the way you're breathing, how fast you're breathing, how much you're breathing, into the hypothalamus. So the hypothalamus is in charge of creating what you call a homeostasis in our body. So then your hypothalamus will send information to the organs that need to be activated if you are breathing in a fight or flight mode. So your heart rate will increase. You're going to start to just get more blood sent into your muscle tissues to run, to fight or flight. So all that connection between the autonomic nervous system and the breath, it is pretty much possible due to that communication between the vagus nerve and your brain.
Okay, so that's interesting. Now, one of the biggest complaints that adults seem to have, and it's, I know, and oftentimes it's stress related, is sleeping problems. And I know breath work is also quite beneficial to sleep. What's the tie-in with breath work and sleeping?
And with breath work and sleeping, you can see, for example, the autonomic nervous system is divided into branches. The sympathetic response and the parasympathetic response. So to make a very easy language here, sympathetic, fight or flight, parasympathetic, rest and digest. So every inhale that we take, it pretty much triggers a sympathetic response, a fight or flight response. So when you inhale, your heart rate normally increases. And when you exhale, your heart rate normally decreases. So saying that in a very easy way to understand is every time you pay more attention into your exhale and make a longer exhale and make like a more relaxed exhale, you will start to give kind of a feel into your rest and digest response. So if you're looking to have a very good night's sleep and you always have trouble on falling asleep, I tell to my clients to always focus when you are laying in bed and have a longer exhale. You can count to 5, 6, or even 8, but it might make sure your exhale is always longer, relaxed, and make sure your lower jaw is not locked, because your lower jaw is pretty much the remote control to any muscle tissue that go down from the neck all the way up to your belly button. So if your lower jaw is relaxed when you're breathing, your neck will be relaxed, your shoulder will be relaxed, and all that helps sending information to your brain that you are ready to go to sleep. So every time I tell my clients that have trouble sleeping regarding breathing, I tell them, make sure when you are in bed, you relax your lower jaw, you let the tongue sit on the top of your cleft palate, and you can inhale for 4, exhale for 8, and keep doing until you start to feel that your body is completely relaxed, and then the magic just happens. You just start to feel kind of dozy, and then your eyes start to get heavier, and then you just eventually fall asleep.
Right. So that's a great technique to use before you go to bed. But I assume with regular breath work exercises, you know, you probably have a protocol that you give your clients during the day, I guess, depending on the requirements, but that would probably help overall, because I know a lot of people can, there's people that fall asleep and then they wake up with their mind racing at 3 a.m. and they can't fall back asleep again.
Yeah, that's correct. But I also think, Brian, that a lot of that anxiety and having a lack of sleep, it's been accumulated over the years by individual's lifestyle and also what they've been carrying in the subconscious. So the way you breathe as well throughout the day is very important. So I tell to my clients to throughout the day try to always use the nose instead of the mouth to breathe. The nose breathe as well is much easier to perform a diaphragmatic breathing, which the yogis call belly breathing. So the way you breathe during the day will definitely help you to just have a better day and a more peaceful day, and the easier way to deal with the stressful situation throughout the day when you are waking. But I truly believe the sleeping issues as well is directly related to the amount of stress that you've been carrying throughout your life. So that's when the trauma release breath come into hand, when you are led by a professional that's capable to help the clients to, in a session like the one that you have done, you're going to bring a very powerful way to release some of those traumas that are always stored in our cellular level. So,
So that's fascinating. So on this, that's a great segue, because that was actually my next question on the trauma release, because I think that's one of the most impactful things that breath work can do. On this, I mean, and I'm fully aware of like how powerful that subconscious program is and how it really can dictate people's lives and how we run around on autopilot mode dictated by all of that past programming, a lot of stuff from our childhood. But on a cellular level, I mean, it's just amazing that we hold this. So, I mean, a session like I did where, you know, there was some aggressive breathing technique that you walked us through, and then there was, you know, there's a lot of other guidance there. But how does that trauma actually then release from a cellular level through the breath work? Is there a way to sort of explain that in a way that's understandable?
Yeah, sure. I use a lot of the techniques that, like the one that you have experienced, that first is asking my clients self-reflective question directly to some themes. And after that, what the breath does in a trauma release level is start to send more blood flow from the prefrontal cortex, which is the thinking brain, into the limbic and reptilian brain, which the limbic is the emotional part of the brain and the reptilian is the survival. So if the breath is performed at a certain manner, you manage to change some of that blood flow into the limbic and reptilian brain. So what that does is pretty much shut down, in a very rudimentary way of saying, it shut down that monkey brain that keep telling us that, okay, keep going, you can deal with that, you're strong enough, and you always avoid a directly connection with very deep emotions that have been suppressed for so long in order to protect ourselves from psychological and emotional pain. So the breathing pretty much allow you to go to places in your subconscious that you've been avoiding for so long for fear of psychological and emotional pain. So when you are completely in that stage of facing those emotions and those situations where the coping mechanism you have created to keep going with your life, that's when the magic happens. So the paper that the brain, that the breath performed in the brain for trauma release at cellular level is pretty much allowing you to access those parts of your brain, the limbic and reptilian brain, where now you are finally open to face the truth and stop escaping what you've been trying for so long. Does that make sense?
100%, brother. That was really well articulated. Thank you. I'm actually going to re-listen to that a few more times to let that sink in. But that was yeah, that's an amazing way of describing that, brother. So thank you for that. Okay, so moving on now, the cold. The cold is another big part of breath work. Extreme temperatures, cold and heat potentially, but I've been experimenting with cold showers for a little while now, and I really feel great after having a cold shower, and my tolerance is to that stress has increased. Can you explain the benefits of the cold?
Yeah, sure. So we have over 100,000 kilometers of vein and vessels in our body. So that can give you pretty much three times the tour around the globe. That's how much vein and vessel we have. So we all know that as soon as you jump in the ice water, in a very cold water, you trigger a very strong stress response, a survival mode. But that is also connected to your limbic system and to your circulatory system. So when you go in an ice bath, for example, you have your extremities, some of your blood vessels completely constricting in order to save you from dying. So all your blood will be pretty much concentrated in your vital organs. And that will also create a very strong response from your brain, from your hypothalamus to keep you alive. So what we'll do, we'll start to release different hormones. We'll start to get your body to just self-regulate it. It's almost like in the circulatory system, you take a hose and you just press the hose for the hose to go very thin water. And then as soon as you jump out of the ice, you open those holes again. So if you imagine the blood flow going very thin, then flowing again very strongly, then going very thin, flowing again very strongly, that create a super optimal pretty much blood flow. Is almost like a high intensity interval training to your circulatory system.
Right.
In the other hand, your brain will get much sharper in trying to self-regulate your body temperature and keep you alive. So, of course, you get a sharper response from your sympathetic autonomic nervous system. And that also created pretty much an activation of your limbic response, which is where all your glands are, right? So we know the glands is what secretes any type of hormone, such as adrenaline and cortisol. So the ice, for me, is a way to put my body under a controlled stress, which we avoid in a daily basis by always being warm, by always putting the heater on when it's too cold, and then when it's too hot to put an air condition on. So we lose the ability to self-regulate ourselves. So the ice at a controlled environment, in a safe environment, in progressive exposure, will pretty much retrain your whole brain and your whole body to self-regulate itself and be sharper in response to stress.
Right. Well, that's powerful. Now, I guess on that self-regulation note, I saw a video of you submerging yourself in, I think it was 4 degrees Celsius water, and typically which would raise your heart rate, and you were able to, through breath and through your mind, able to drop your heart rate down to a very low number. Is that something that you were able to do over time? Is that the regulation you're describing, or is that some other technique?
Definitely. Anyone can do that. And it's just brilliant to watch when you do your Wim Hof training with Wim Hof and with very capable master trainers that certify us at the training, which the first response you have even before you go in the ice, but someone telling you that you go in the ice, you start to feel anxious. You start to feel that your heart rate is racing. So what we do with the ice during the train as an instructor, for example, is very interesting how we start to telling ourselves that, okay, I'm going in the ice. I cannot deny that it will be cold, so I'm not going to be, I'm sorry that my word here, but BSing myself and say you will be hot, because you'll not be hot. So I believe the first thing to do when you go in those type of situations is acknowledge the truth. Okay, it is cold, but also remember that our human body is extremely powerful if we allow our human body to do their own job without interfere. So I tell myself, okay, go in the ice. I acknowledge that it's cold, that it is not pleasant, but I know at the same time that my body have the ability to deal with that at a short period of time. So once I know and I convince myself that, okay, I will go and I'm going to let my brain and my body do their job without interfering. So that's number one, be aware and know that we are perfectly capable to deal with that type of stress. Then as soon as you go in the ice, you're going to focus in what I have mentioned before, the difference between inhale and exhale. So if someone is untrained and is thrown in the ice without any notice, you see that the first thing you do is and hold your breath. And as soon as you hold your breath on the inhale, what happened? Your sympathetic response kick out. So your heart rate will race like crazy and you lose control. But as soon as you just apply those techniques in between inhale and exhale, it's very simple. You just go in the ice and you remember to never hold your breath. Just allow the breath to flow and exhale. And then the third thing that I apply to myself is what I have mentioned before as well. It's be very aware of my lower jaw. So I don't clench, I don't squeeze my jaw the other way around. I let my mouth slightly open. In that way, I know my neck and my shoulder also be very relaxed. So that also helps send information to your brain that even though you are under stress, you're not tense. As you know, as a fitness specialist, our muscle fibers also has nerve response. So if your muscle is relaxed, your brain will understand that even under stress, you are still capable to relax. Then you add a longer exhale that will also send more information to your brain that you're not in a panic mode. And then you are aware of everything you're doing and you not fight the water, but the other way around, you just surrender to the water. All those little elements will help you to manage to control your autonomic nervous system response. So instead of your heart rate rises, you're going to manage to allow your heart rate to decrease. So all you're doing here is helping consciously your brain and your autonomic nervous system to do the job without interfering.
Yeah. That's powerful. That's interesting. I've talked about surrendering to the cold, and I've heard Wim Hof say many times, you know, just witness. You know, that's it. Not just let your body do its thing without trying to interfere, as we always do.
Yeah,
Sandra, I'm always asking my guests on the podcast about their daily routines or morning routines. What's a typical day look like for you in terms of routine?
So my day routine, which I don't miss, is very rare for me to miss that routine, and that has been for the past 5 years, is I normally early person. So I wake up around 5:30. In this lockdown, I've been wake up a little bit later, but as soon as I wake up, the first thing that I do, I go to the kitchen, I boil the jug of water, I put a warm water with a full lemon just to help alkalize my blood, and also to kick off my digestive system. So I have a 500 milliliters of warm water with a lemon, squeeze it in. Then I go straight into a very reserved spot in my house. It can be the lounge or another room or the garage. I just put my earphone on and I do a 30-minute breath work. And that breath work, it really depends how I feel in the morning. Sometimes I do a trauma release, which I end up crying like a baby, and just let any fear or anything that's be bothering me that I'm not aware of it to let it out. Sometimes I just lay down and do a Wim Hof method of breathing. Sometimes I just do an alternate nostril breath, especially on my left nostril inhale and my right nostril exhale. So that help with also the parasympathetic activation. So no matter what I do in this 30 to 40 minutes of breath, I always make sure that's part of my routine. And as soon as I finish the breath, I go straight into my ice bath. I'm very lucky that I have a machine that I can preset the temperature that I want my ice bath to be. So normally that between 5 to 3 degrees Celsius. But I do a little bit different. I have a hot bath as well that's just side by side that I keep all at 41.5 degrees Celsius. So what I do is I jump in the ice for 2 minutes. Then I go straight into the hot bath for 2 minutes. Then I finish in the ice for the next 2 minutes. So all I'm doing here is pretty much giving an extra kick into my circulatory system, contraction and relaxation by going from the ice to the extremely hot. And when all that finished, Brian, I just have a very funny part of the routine, which I go to my kitchen after all that, and I take one of those Italian coffee machines that you have to boil the water up, and I just put my coffee on the stove, and I love that smell of the coffee brewing, just start to boiling. So that's how I finish my routine, by having a black coffee, or sometimes a bulletproof, where I add some ghee, and also some coconut oil, just to give me some extra energy and also be a little bit more in a ketosis stage. So that's my morning routine. And all that takes me around 1 hour, more or less.
Yeah. Yeah. Powerful, brother. Well, I'm a huge morning routine guy myself, and I'm up a little later now, again, with the lockdown, but typically 5:30, and yeah, having that sort of structure every single day. I always tell people, locking down your morning, taking time to find your breath, to meditate. And I mean, you've stepped it up a little bit with your heat and your cold routine, but that's so powerful just to take you out throughout the rest of your day, and you can take on anything after that. It's amazing. Well, listen, brother, I thank you so much for your time today, man. I really, really appreciate it. And man, I've learned a lot more again since we spoke last. Sander, how could people find you and learn more about what you do?
First of all, Brian, I wanted to really thank you for the opportunity, and I'm very honored to be here talking with you. At this moment right now, I'm offering a lot of online trauma release sessions that is always on my Facebook page. And people can find me as well on my website, which is www.sandro-mota.com.
Perfect, brother. Thank you, man. Well, I'm going to be joining another session very soon myself, and I've already spoken with a few others who will be joining me, so I'm looking forward to that. So thank you again, my brother. You be safe and take care, and we will talk soon.
Thank you, my brother. Have a beautiful day. Stay safe with your family.